Heavenly Father, we thank you. We worship you, Lord, as worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Slain before the foundation of the world. And he that chose us in him before the world began, we give you praise and glory, Lord. We thank you for your great goodness again this morning and all the time. I will say, the step of a righteous man, we are ordered of the Lord. Day by day, you are ordering ourselves. Thank you for making us your witnesses. Ye are my witnesses. That, you know, to this wicked world, that you are good, that you are the God of glory, you are the Savior of the world. Father, we bless you and we worship you. Thank you for bringing us together again. As we fellowship around the world this morning, Lord, leave us a blessing. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, this morning, by the grace of God, the saints, after the rapture, the saints after the rapture. Well, people will say, what are you talking about the rapture all the time? Well, Rabbi say, where your treasure is, there will also be your heart, isn't it? So, and that's why we're talking about it day by day, you know. And the Bible says, you know, our conversation is in heaven. When we look again for our Lord Jesus Christ. So our conversation is in heaven, we are on heart. And we are in the world, not of the world. So we have to talk about what our heart is. So there are many, many things that people have been saying about the rapture. I'm going to be talking about two of them this morning. Are they really true? And what is the true state of things, you know? So, now, here are something that people have been talking over the decades. Will the rapture be an event which will depopulate the earth? Just empty the cities and so on, that, you know, that was going to happen. Or will it cause trains, airplanes, automobiles to lose their pilots or drivers? That was not going to happen when the rapture takes place, is that right? And as a result, transportation will just crash in one tremendous worldwide catastrophe. Is that going to happen really? Where? Well, the other people are saying over the decades, and people believe that and so forth. I like to look at things, you know, from the word of God, you know. So, well, we believe the miracle of the rapture, yes, the rapture will be a miracle, right? Your salvation is a miracle. Mm-hmm. The incarnation is a miracle. Mm-hmm. The creation of the universe is a miracle. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's a miracle. Don't worry yourself how will it be. Don't worry yourself about that. Just serve the Lord with gladness and so on. You know, it will happen because it's a miracle. Just like your salvation and so on. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a miracle. All about us and the Lord is a miracle. So anyway, so we believe the miracle of the rapture will be quiet. That's how we believe now. We're going to push each other behind these things and so on. And while it will be strange and mystifying, this rapture, circumstances may largely reduce its dramatic effect. The things around the world will reduce the dramatic effect of the rapture, as I'm going to show that now by the word of God. Satan will do everything possible to confuse the people on the issue of the rapture. For a number of reasons, we believe the effect on the world will not have this commonly supposed impact I just told you before, and so on. Planes losing their pilots, the trains crashing all over the world, you know. Now, I don't think it will be like that. Let me give some reasons here why it will not be so. We are focusing about the coming of the Lord. Everything we do in this age, whether it's witnessing, we are witnessing because we know in Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. As a witness to the nations, right? Everything the elect does is to usher in the king. You know, they bring back the king. Anyway, for this reason, I believe that the way they are thinking is, even many Christians are thinking that way, it won't be like that and so on. Number one, so we see that the miracles of translation in the past history, there have been translations before, right? We got two of them before. So the miracles of translation in past history did not occur in the presence of crowds. And this will probably be the case in the coming rapture. For those just coming in, welcome. And we're talking about the saints of God after the rapture. And then we're trying to dispel some of the ideologies or suppositions people have around the rapture. So if that it takes place right now, with people, and there's a pilot who is a Christian, and it's raptured, what happens to that plane? Or the person who is driving the train, and the actual alcohol, what was going to happen? Are they going to crash all over the world? We are saying probably not, looking at the scripture. So now, number one, here are the reasons. The miracles of dispensation in past history did not occur in the presence of crowds. And this will probably be the case in the coming rapture. Or will they see us going up to heaven? Will they see us going to heaven? I don't think so. From the rapture, no, from the Bible and so on. So this event will be confused by a vast number of explanations and speculations of what happened when it takes place. Those left behind will not have seen the people ascending to heaven. They won't. I don't believe they're going to see us. It is a secret cache away of the bride of Christ. The rapture is a secret cache away, of the bride of the Lord Jesus. Now let's look at the Bible. Enoch, the first one to be translated, of whom it is written, Genesis 5:24. We have to tie everything we say to the word of God. Here is the man was translated, what happened around him? And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Then in Hebrews 11:5, that man, not much is spoken about him at all, and so on. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. So Enoch was gone. Nobody seen going up. It wasn't found. So I'm talking about what will happen, the rapture that is going to happen anytime from now. So to see people are saying that they will see us going to, they won't see us. I don't think they're going to see us. Anyway, so that's Enoch, the very first one. You know, and the Bible says there's something called the law of first mention in the Bible. It's called the law of first mention. When something is first written in the Bible, it lays the foundations of how things should be with that event. You know, God will lay the foundation of it when it's first mentioned in the Bible. This is the first mentioning of a rapture in the Bible. And what's in fact? Nobody see him. God took him. So I'm thinking that the rapture will be the same thing for the saints. When? At the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every truth be established, right? I'm going to give more than two today. Now, Elijah, the second man, who was translated, not the whole world saw him go to heaven. Only one man. And then a few that are called the sons of the prophets saw him. Let's see into 2 Kings 2:11. And it came to pass, as they, meaning Elijah and Elisha, still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Verse 17 says that here, now, when he was gone, the sons of the prophets now, they saw him afar off. In fact, they even told Elisha, your master will be taken away from us today. Shut your mouth. I know it. Don't tell me nothing that I know. I know all those things. I don't, just shut your mouth and so on. So they saw him afar off. Anyway, so when he was translated and went to heaven, in verse 17 of 2 Kings 2, they, meaning the sons of the prophets, sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. Don't go and look for him. He got to heaven. So then, maybe they saw him going, so only them would have seen it, and Elisha. But something has happened in Elisha's life, Elijah's life before. They have a perception that many times God's spirit will take Elijah and just take him to a certain place and so on, like that, you know. So they were thinking this time around, God's spirit took him to somewhere else, but they were mistaken. Elijah said, look, he's gone to heaven. Elijah said, he's gone to heaven and so on. So anyway, as far as we know, if the sons of the prophets saw him, there are only a few of them. Otherwise, only Elisha saw him go to heaven, right? Another translation that happened and so on. Not the old world saw him. So now, let me give you more example. Although every eye shall see our Lord Jesus Christ, when he visibly appear, we always say it here, the coming of the Lord is not one time only and so on. So, you know, the second coming, you know, will be invisible to the world. So anyway, so although the, you know, every eye will see the Lord during his, you know, his visible coming, but in the rapture, when he comes for the, you know, for the church, for the bride, the world won't see him. Let's look at the Bible. So here is the visible coming of Christ when all the world will see him. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kingdoms of the earth shall weigh the cause of him. Even so, amen, the Bible says, that is the visible coming of the Lord. But before that, that is the rapture of the church, right? Which is mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. In that one, the world will not see him, and they won't see us too. Let me read that one to you. Verse 16, chapter 4, that way. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So then, so we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we're going to meet, there's a cloud that takes us up, right? And then we meet the Lord in the air. So therefore, how can the world see him at that time? So we see. So now we know. The scriptures also say of the resurrection of Christ and that of the Old Testament first fruit saints. So now, when he rose from the dead, what happened? Not all the world saw him. No. And when he was going off, not all the world saw him. In Acts 10:40, in the house of Cornelius, Apostle Paul was, Peter was preaching to them and so forth. Verse 40, here is what he said about the resurrection of Christ. Him, meaning Christ, God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Now, if you stop that, you think all the world saw him? No. Verse 41 says, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose again from the dead. So if the sons of the prophets saw Elijah go up, it's because they were preordained of God before the world began, right? Just like the apostles only saw the Lord, right? The same thing, you know. Anyway, in Matthew 27:50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. You can see the what I'm trying to say now, what will happen in the rapture has to be in the pattern of the scriptures. You see? Everything has to be in the pattern of the scriptures, right? Now, okay, so, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints we slept arose. You see all of them, you see many bodies. You know, this is the first fruit resurrection of the Old Testament says, right? And it's a pattern for the New Testament rapture too. And they came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appear unto many, not to all the people in the world, not to all in Jerusalem, they appear unto many, right? Those people are preordained, you know, to have seen them. See? So now I give all these examples. Shall not the resurrection and translation of the New Testament same follow the same pattern? The rapture is both a resurrection and a translation. Resurrection of the dead in Christ and translation of those saints who are alive. So, I mean, we did about four examples right now. How can that be different, you know? So that dispels the idea of the people are thinking about the rapture and so on. Now, another thing is this. The earth population, they say, the earth will be depopulated when the rapture takes place. Is that going to be? Yeah, well, some people will be living, you know, but will the world even feel it at all? So the earth population, as we know it today, is about 8 billion. The number of those who are raptured, I believe, in comparison, to the total population will be rather very, very small. And there are precedents to that in the Bible, like I said. So let us compare what happened in the former events of the rapture and so on, or maybe people living in this world. I'm saying that the rapture, those who go up will be in fact, it will be so small compared to the population of the world, they will hardly know anything. Let's break this down. In 1 Peter 3:20, concerning the days of Noah, 1 Peter 3:20, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, I see some verses in there, wherein few, you see that one few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Eight souls only, out of a whole generation of the whole wide world, only eight souls. See? Talking about the proportion of those who are raptured compared to the rest of the 8 billion that are in the world. We're so small. Now, and the Lord said of that event in Matthew 24:37, but at the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He said many things about the days of Noah, eating and drinking, giving to marriage and being married and so forth, that you know. No, but one thing is that only a very few, you know, went to heaven, Noah and his family and so forth, that you know. So the Lord has his coming, be like the days of Noah too, which means there are going to be few too. Now what I'm saying, compared to the rest of the population of the world, in Numbers 32:10, the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, how many of that 2 million get to the promised land? So let me read to you Numbers 32:10. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and his fear saying, surely, none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, the Lord said. Verse 12 says, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Why? For they have wholly followed the Lord. Like we say, what happened to Enoch? He walked with God, right? He walked with God, right? And God took him. You see? The same thing. And this rapture will be the same thing. But to walk with the Lord. You see? Now, the thing is this. So, you see? So, only two of them, from 20 years up, below, all perish in the wilderness, right? So, let's say 2 million left Egypt. I don't know how many of them were under 20 years old, over 20 years old. I don't know how many of them. It's running to millions, I believe. Only two made it there. Talking of where the world be depopulated by the rapture, it wasn't done. I'm trying to see how small the proportion of the translated things are to the rest of the world. And the Lord said this in Luke 17:29. But another one here. He said this. But the same day that Lot, another incident in the Bible. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even though shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Another destruction happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. How many of people escaped? Very, very negligible, you know. But they all perished and so on, that you know. And then if I mention that, see, this war, yeah, some people will live, but it's not be depopulated. I've given so many Bible, instances to that and so forth, that you know. So we see. Now let me see to you. In the US here, unknown to many people, is the fact that thousands of people disappear every day. Husband leaving their wives and vice versa. Children running away from home. Happen all the time. Thank God we will not know, but we say, tell them fall on your side. Tell them on your last hand, it shall not come down to you, right? But it happened in this nation. Who is hearing about it, you know? So when the rapture takes place, you know, I'm going to tell you, it won't be too far away from that and so on, from all these examples that I just gave from the scripture right here. So we see, although the unusual factors involved in the disappearing of the saints is starting to cause widespread attention, we know that, There are many explanations beside the true one. Satan is the father of lies, right? Let me show you what is happening in the world today. They will start to explain this away, you know. So just like the sons of the prophets and so on. Oh, let's go get 50 strong men to go and look for Elijah. You know, the same thing. For example, today there are flying saucer entities. In fact, recently, about 3 weeks ago, this question of flying saucer came up with the government again. People say that the government is hiding some alien people in this country. You know, people think about that and some of that, you know. Anyway, over the decades, there have been flying saucer entities, you know, and they claim that because the world is in greater danger of nuclear destruction, visitors from other planets are coming to the Earth to observe conditions and to try to rescue as many Earth dwellers as possible. They are here. And even they are even claiming that some people have already been carried to other planets. It's out there. Flying saucer entities, they are saying this kind of thing. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, it came up again. It's in the news. The government involved with all these flying saucer things and some of that, you know. So anyway, so we see. Maybe when it actually happened, flying saucer are taking them away. You see, Satan set up these things to explain away the rapture, you know. I believe it, you know. So we see. So, and another thing is this. The rise of spiritualism today, Satan did that too for a purpose. Spiritualism and sorcery is taking people's attention today. Multitudes are unable to distinguish between what is of God and what is not. That's why you have to pay attention to the word of God in all that you do. Be quick to hear. See, be slow to speak and so forth. Take it to how you hear and what you hear. Compare with the word of God. Don't be deceived now. See? These are many puzzling preternatural phenomena occurring today to those who are not familiar with the scriptures. These things include, but not limited to, materialization, we see it all the time. Dematerialization, we see all the time. Necromancy, which is which is the practice of magical sorcery involving communication with the dead by summoning their spirits as apparitions or visions. But really, they're talking to devils, really, and to unclean spirits and fallen angels, either, you know, and devils and all that, you know. They can't bring any man's spirits back. So we see right there, they are all in the world today. We have psychometry, which is divination of facts concerning an object or its owner through contact with or proximity to that object. We have clairvoyance, which is the power or faculty of discerning objects not present to the senses. So these things are happening, and so Satan put them been happening in the world for a long time back. And so why did he do those things? Because at the rapture time, you know, and so on that thing. Also, it's an introduction to the power of the Antichrist. So all this will reach a head when the Antichrist himself comes. What will they do? It will demonstrate preternatural power. Bible says so. And then we claim that his power exceeds the power of the Christian or the Christian's God. He will do that. Start to prove that. Indeed, he will manifest great signs, and Bible calls it lying wonders, which the scriptures tell us will deceive the inhabitants of the earth. He will demonstrate his own power by calling down fire from heaven. Bible says he will do it. Scripture for that. Revelation 13:13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Not only the Antichrist, the Bible tells us, there will arise other false prophets and false Christ. We have been appearing over the earth, even since 36 AD, and they have been appearing since Apostle John wrote the book of his epistles. Say, you have heard that there be Antichrist. Come. See, there are not many Antichrists, right? As look at 2,000 years now. How many of them come and go? We are, you know. So, anyway. So, and then who will deceive many? Matthew 24:24 says, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. See? So we are just in the age we are living in right now, right near the rapture and the coming of the Lord. Moreover, the terrible wars, we have one going on now, just for 1 year, yeah, they're going on for 1 year since, you know, just today they come 1 year. The Ukraine, the Russia invasion of Ukraine have been 1 year. And many, there have been many wars before now. As we near the Great Tribulation or the Rapture, there will be more wars. Jesus said that the wars and rumors of wars, right? Luke 21 says so. Anyway, moreover, the terrible wars between nations and the general confusion of the times will cause men to forget all else except the matter of their own survival. They will remember the rapture. Some people are missing. It will be that way at the end of the age. You see? There will be so much trouble upon the earth. They are looking for their own survival. You know? They will have little time to ponder the meaning of the rapture. See? Matthew 24:21. For there shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No. Nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So the word is such a confusion. And they also don't pay attention to the rapture. Now, will the news media of the war be free to tell the truth? Why did I say that? They will be under censorship. I believe it. See? They will in no doubt be, they will be under strict censorship by the Antichrist. Because why? All your news media, call it social media, are all controlled, they are all computer driven, right? Your Facebook, your Twitter, or what call it, they are all computer based, right? And so it is easy to control things by computer, right? So that's why it's at the end of time, you know, computer and some of that, you know. So they still have a control. That's why you can issue a mark, right? That's how you're going to know those who have a mark and those who don't have a mark, the computer and so on. Electronic brain 666, right? We know that. So anyway, so we see, so there's so much, so they can't publish the truth. So they will hide the truth of the rapture. So because why? Anything that distasteful to the Antichrist, it will restrict at that time. So the Antichrist will make war with the saints who are left behind and will of course suppress any facts that are deceitful to him. The scriptures teach that that the famine of the word of God in this time happened in the past before, but it will happen like no other time before. Amos 8:11 says, Amos 8:11, behold, the days come, said the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. When the latter takes place, you know, I mean the light of the world is gone. The tribulation has to go through. Many of them see their testimony with their blood. So anyway, so how it happened? So the truth is gone. Now, for this and many other reasons, we believe that the effect of the rapture upon the world, such as the population of the cities, trains and planes crashing, automobiles losing their pilots and all these kind of things, resulting in the transportation crash all over the world, and we believe that it's over-exaggerated by some Christians who are thinking that way, you know, looking for the scripture. True, it will bring some to repentance, and to a new consecration to God, but others should be hardened. Talking about the things after the rapture, right? So I just described what people are thinking about the rapture, when it happened and so forth. Let's look at the things after the translation. People think that all kind of idea about the what will happen after the rapture to us when we are up there. Or like what many think heaven is and will be a busy place. We have seen many artist drawings of what will happen after the rapture to the saints. Things like, they portray heaven to be a dreamy place where people recline on clouds, playing harp all day long, and we are children. Well, no children go to heaven anyhow, who apparently never grew up. They stroll through the heavenly fields, picking flowers and watching butterflies. That's what people think that heaven is, right? Even today, they actually think like that, you know. Their conception of heaven, not knowing the scriptures, right? Anyway, such a picture no more accurately describes the pursuits of the inhabitants of heaven than it correctly describes the pursuits of the inhabitants of the earth. So we're going to say that kind of a picture is not reality, really, you know. Let's look into the Word of God. And this thing will help us to even, you know, keep our eye more on the Lord and do more for God when you know what we'll be involved with after the rapture. Now, let me see. Let's look at Elijah. The brief scene of Elijah and Moses on the matter of transfiguration shows them to be concerned with matters of great importance, you know. They were translated. I mean, actually, Moses was raised from the dead by the Lord. And when they appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, they were busy people, right? And showing that heaven is not just a hiding place. No, no, no. We're going to be very busy, you know. So, on the Mount of Transfiguration, we see Peter, James, and John, right? You know, they listen while the two men, meaning Elijah and Moses, commune with the Lord. What were they talking about? In Luke 31, Bible says, they were talking with Christ of his disease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. See? So these people, they are not to the world anymore. And when they appear, they were busy people talking about the kingdom of God, right? Or attached to the Christ, you know, at Jerusalem and so on. And when the two witnesses of Revelation 11, whom we believe, will be these two men, these two men, which are Elijah. When they appear, they will be very, very busy people, right? You know, during the Great Tribulation, they will be active indeed, witnessing for Christ, bringing judgment upon the Antichrist, and preparing Israel to return to the faith of their fathers. Giving a clue of what will happen to us after the rapture. We will be very busy people, you know. Our job will be cut out for us. I'm going to mention some of them now. And even when man created, when God created man, before the fall at all, he was a busy man, right? Because man is so created that to be happy, he must be active. His activities before the fall include Genesis 2:15. He says this, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." There was no fall that time, even so, to show that the intention of God. Do you think when we are raptured, we'll be idle and doing nothing and just be playing up 24 hours a day? And so, no, no. Like what for us to do? Here, Adam was given the task of taking care of the Garden of Eden, dressing it, and keeping it in order. We see Adam busy taking inventory of the beasts of the field and giving each a name. Genesis 2:19 says this, "And out of the ground, the Lord God, formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called them, or called every living thing or creature, that was the name thereof." So it was a busy man even before the fall, right? So do you think it was the idol after rapture? I don't think so. So anyway, mankind was to multiply and replenish the earth. He was to take dominion over it and subdue it. Genesis 1:28 says, "And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it." He gave him things to do, right? "And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." I'm telling you right now, that decree that God gave at the beginning is enforced today. That same decree is enforced today. But with a difference now. Why? What's the difference? Because of the fall, the ground was cursed, right? With thistles and thorns. Anita was told that in the sweat of his face shall he eat bread. In other words, man, while under the cause, will be compared to labor to the point of weariness to rest his living from the reluctant soil that was caused, right? He and the woman will suffer sorrow and pain in a world caused with sin. But thank God today, that this new covenant that God has done, the redemption, our kinsman redeemer has come, has redeemed us, and Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So its redemption or plan involves the removal of the curse. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So what am I saying here? In the coming age, like after the translation and the coming age, work in the coming age will no longer be a matter of toil and sweat. No. It won't be that way anymore. The glorified body that's going to receive will not be subject to pain, no weariness. Because Bible says we are changed, right? In the translation, right? We have a body like the body of Christ. See, So the body we are going to receive will not be weary or be in pain or any kind of thing like that. Our service to the Lord Jesus will be a happy and a joyful activity. You know, there will certainly be a season of rest, you know, during the heavenly interlude. I'm now showing or trying to see what the Bible says about our activities after the rapture, you know. So it won't be the labor that we do here, sweating and weariness and so on. No, we have glorified bodies. But there will be also great activity. It is possible that we will have a period of short training. When we are raptured, I believe there will be a period of short training to prepare us for the time to come. Even when the Lord raised from the dead, for 40 days or so, he groomed the disciples over many things, you know, for about 40 days after the resurrection, appeared to them in different things, showed them many, many things and so on, until he was taken to heaven finally and so forth. Now, the lessons we learn here on earth will well prepare us, for that which is to come. The more we develop in godly wisdom and knowledge in this life, the better we shall be fitted for our place in the world to come. We are not altogether sure of what the training will look like. That's the speculation, right? But I can point some things out in the Bible, what it will look like, you know. I know dogmatism in this place. This is what I want to say right now. No speculation. I'll just say what the Bible says here. So, between the rapture and the millennium, let's see a possible activity you're going to be involved with. The scripture hinted that before the millennium kingdom can be set up on earth, Satan must be displaced from the heavenlies. And a few years after that, cast into the bottomless pit. So the Bible teaches us that. That we, the saints that are raptured, will be involved in this war seems very clear from the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. So begin to see what we're going to be involved with now. Not the rapture, not idleness, no. The displacement of Satan from the heavenlies mentioned in Revelation 12, I believe, will involve the rapture saints. We're going to be very, very busy. Let me read to you. Revelation 12, verse 7 through about 12. It says this, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice say in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. So what is going on here? The kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And to accomplish this, the entire forces of God will be mobilized in a mighty concentrated attack against the stronghold of Satan. That one's going to take place. And the rapture says, we join with the angels under the leadership of Archangel Michael in a decisive battle of world history. The battle in the heavenlies. A battle which is even now raging. It's already going on. A phase of that battle is going on right now. You will be involved with it as a Christian. I'm going to mention it a little bit quickly. So just a phase of it, but after the rapture, it's come to a head as we work with Michael at that time. Talk more about that. It is worth noting that Satan is not cast out of the heavenlies until the mankind company was cut off. To really put that one to you, he wasn't cast out until the mankind was cut off in Revelation 12:5, right? That is when the war in heaven began, right? Anyway, we'll go to that. Now, let's see here. That the rapture scene, we participate in the battle, is evident from the 11th verse of Revelation 12 to show you that the rapture people are going to be involved with this war, with against the devil and so on. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, right? And by the word of their testimony. We know angels know nothing of the blood of Jesus Christ, right? So this statement is to be applied to humans and not to angels. See? I mean, angels, they don't fall, they don't know anything about the blood of Jesus Christ. Only you and I know the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're going to be involved. So it's humans who are translated. Even though the statement does not have application to the saints on earth, it appears that it applies to us now, but the primary purpose of that statement is that what happened after the rapture, the casting out of Satan. Like I said, today in a measure, you and I, we are involved with that right now. So, remember, the death angel could not touch the children of Israel on the night that he passed through the land of Egypt, right? I want to give you precedence in the Bible of the blood and so on, like that, you know, say they overcome by the blood of the Lamb, right? And the word of their testimony. And I'm saying that statement relates to Christians, not to angels who are fighting with Michael, to Christians. So, back in Egypt, so the blood, you know, of the animal that was shed and put upon the lintel of the door prevent the angel of death from touching any of the children of Israel. So, Satan today cannot pass through the blood of Christ when it is appropriated by faith. That way we are called to the blood of sprinkling, right? Many people don't do that really. It's effective, it is powerful to sprinkle by faith the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know. It's wonderful, you know. So it's part of the weapons of our warfare really, you know. Bible says the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Bible says we overcome him anyway by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. In addition, the overcoming of Satan also involves the believer's testimony, right? In that scripture. So So not the angel testimony, the believer testimony. In other words, our confession. If you confess faith, if you confess the promises of our Lord Jesus Christ that He gave to us, the promise of power over Satan, if you confess all of those things, then you are an overcomer. In Luke 10:18, it's given to you and I. I say we are in the face of that battle already. If you come to a head, past the rapture, where Satan will be cast out of the heavenly. Luke 10:19, and He said unto them, praise the Lord. Anyway, so the word of our confession and so on. So we confess the word of God. So Luke 10:18 tells us that even right now I give up power over all the power of the enemy. He said, behold, I give unto you power. That's Luke 10:18-19. And to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you. So we see that the warfare against Satan in the heavenlies is not restricted to angels alone. The saints of God, even now and in the future, participate in this battle in the heavenlies. Something many Christians don't even know about and so on. Apostle Paul knew about it, and he wrote to you and I in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We are in the face of that battle now, overcoming the devil and so on. Let me read that one in Ephesians 6:12. And it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is the face of that battle. But it comes to an end after the rapture, when, together with Michael and his angels, Satan will be cast down from the heavenlies and so on. This warfare against Satan will be continued after the translation of the fourth fruit. Those raptured will be joined in the battle by Michael, the archangel, and his angels. It will be talking about this. Michael in the Bible, let's talk about him a little bit now. So you mean that the same will be working with an angel? Is that right? And then Michael and angel, they are working with him. Well, let's talk a little bit about that and so on. Let's see. In the Bible, Michael came to the assistance, of Daniel, or an angel was sent to Daniel, to help him through and so forth. And in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, where Michael, he came to rescue an angel or to help an angel that was sent to Daniel, that angel was obstructed and took Michael to court to help him. Daniel 10:13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me, that angel said, 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained with the kings of Persia. Meaning Daniel knew how to fight the power of darkness. 21 whole days. You know what? He stood there, not even knowing what was going on, but just stood his ground spiritually and so forth. And for that, we need to learn the workings of Satan and his principality and so on. Old Testament saints knew about it, Daniel knew about it, and so we know about it today. You and I know about it now. We've been in it for a long time now. Now, not only that, Michael is also mentioned in Daniel 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, thy people, meaning the Jews, shall be delivered, every one that is found written in the book. So we see, not only that, he was involved, meaning Michael, in defeating Satan, in his attempt to prevent the rising of Moses' body, in Jude 1:9. Yet Michael, the Bible says here, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he displayed the body of Moses and so on, that Just mentioning the instances where this Michael appear, because you are wondering, me, I could be working with an angel? Well, yeah, what the Bible says, and so on, that Anyway, and who then is this Michael, the archangel? Who is he? You are an angel and so on. With whom we will be fighting together with his angel after the rapture to cast out Satan. We should know more about him, don't we? Anyway, so was it not with his voice in the rapture. Wasn't the voice that called the rapture the voice of the archangel? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Bible says, "So, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." What does that really mean? There is only one archangel mentioned in the whole Bible, and it's Michael. That's the only one. There's no other archangel mentioned in the whole Bible. And they are mentioned in Jude 1:9, and we are just read now. So the Lord calling the rapture, with the voice of the archangel, he said the archangel, a notable archangel, right? So to me, without our contradiction of scripture, that Michael, I believe, is the Lord himself in angelic form. One wrote in a certain place. He says, "Who is the king of angels but Michael?" One wrote in a certain place, you know, "Say, who is the king of angels but Michael?" So Michael is the only archangel, or the angel with the title of archangel in the whole scripture. We can therefore say without contradiction of scripture that Michael is none but Christ in the angelic form. The conflict between the armies of God and the armies of evil will be decisive. The combined forces, which will include the man-child company and the angels under Michael's leadership, will eject Satan and his evil angels permanently out of the heavenly. I'm saying this just to emphasize that after the rapture, we're not going to be idle people. I mean, that's what I'm saying right now. You know, that's why I'm putting more emphasis on this. So since I repeat many times here, let it drive home, you know. For a little time, Satan, we then have freedom to operate on the earth. And we give great power to his Antichrist. Revelation 13:2 says so. And the beast which I saw was like unto, a leopard. And his feet were as the feet of a deer. And his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So this Antichrist will ravage the earth for about 3.5 years, the Bible says. His time, however, will not be prolonged, for at the appointed hour, Satan will be cast into the bottomless pit. Revelation 23 says so. So now, after our participation in displacing Satan from the heavenly, what's next? After the rapture, what are we going to be doing? What's going to be happening is this. So, preparing for the millennium, the overcomers shall rule and reign with Christ, you know, during that period of time. Revelation 2:26 says, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my work unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as the vessels of the potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I receive of my Father." So, again, the saints after the rapture, you know, what are going to be, you know, occupied with. As for the 12 apostles, what happened to them? Matthew 19:28. "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel," he said. So, and events in both heaven and upon the earth will follow in rapid succession after the translation. Apostle John, after being caught into heaven, was brought before the judgment throne to observe and preview of events which will usher in the great and terrible day of the Lord. The raptured saints will join the vast assembly of angels, over 100 million, you know, in a great convocation. Even Daniel the prophet foresaw this. In Daniel 7, I think I missed the verse here. Bible says, "A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, 1,000 ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment seat, the judgment was set, and the books were opened. And in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, on the same throne, the 24 elders who have crowns upon their heads, they sang this song unto the Lamb of God, 5 and Revelation. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So we see that, you know, there will be two other convocations in heaven, really, you know. Just before the battle of Armageddon, there will be other convocations in heaven, and, the redeemed gather together and rejoice, praising God. In Revelation 19:5, and a voice come out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, and all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. That is the coronation of Christ. Revelation 19, 1-6. The coronation of Christ takes place also, you know. Yes, activities in heaven after the rapture. Not going to be idle there. So with all these activities, if I didn't even name all of them, I have time for that to name all of them. With all these activities in heaven, I mean of the saints after the rapture, we see that the rapture, in the providence of God, it's more than just escaping the great tribulation. That's what we know, right? Oh, we're going to escape. Yeah, thank God for that. Even if we should pray that we escape, right? But more than escaping the great tribulation, God has this other work for us to do. So that's why, so God has a special purpose in the rapture of the first fruit. Those who have attained unto a certain maturity for the work, they will be called to do after the rapture. And for another thing, and the last thing I want to say here, they will have the task of judging the world too. You know, so many things are going to be doing after the rapture. Exciting things. You know, and don't forget now, we are in a glorified body, right? No more weariness, no more weakness, no more sweating, nothing of that. So we're going to judge the world. 1 Corinthians 6:2. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest of matters? So you see now, what are going to be doing after the rapture? And it's just a chip in the iceberg. And, of course, we are involved with and so on. Very, very busy people. Our job is cut out for us. Even this judging of the world, as the last scripture here, is even mentioned in the Old Testament. The ministry of judgment by the saints is written in Psalm 149. That's where I'm going to end this morning. Psalm 149. David foresaw these things and some of that, by the Holy Spirit. Verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Don't wait until that time before we rejoice. Now you can shout for joy today. Every passing day, say rejoice evermore, right? So now, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their bed. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. And now, you and I don't carry physical sword these days, right? Yeah. David did, he caught the head of Goliath, right, with his own sword, right? But in my own time and your time, in this dispensation, our own sword is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Ephesians 6, praise be the Lord. That's our own weapon this day. To execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, and to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all the saints. Nobody is left out who is a Christian. Say, praise ye the Lord. This one you have to wait until that time. Today, there are such a, all kind of prayers, right? That's a prayer of binding and loosening too, you know. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Most of all, don't make use of that kind of prayer, right? But it's there for you and I to use and some of that, you know. Bible says, how many of you go to a strong man's house to spoil his goods, but does not spoil before bind him and so on, you see? But we forgot that kind of prayer, but it's there for you and I to use. Binding and loosening, and all you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So let them shout for joy upon their bed and so forth. What an exciting time. And today we have joy in the Lord. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing, you know. Whatever you want from the Lord is yours today and so on. Romans chapter 8 says that we are heirs of God. And we are joint heirs with Christ. So if you are heir of God, all that God has belongs to you. Bible says all things are yours and mine. Praise the Lord Jesus. Yours for the asking. And Bible says when you pray, believe that you receive, you shall have it. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I, Jesus, will do it. I will give it to you. So he gave us an open check. Let us learn how to use them. And the Bible says that overcomer, that I overcome, all over the book of Revelation, in the church age, over the overcomers and so forth. Want to be an overcomer, then shall walk with me in white, sit with me upon my throne, as I also overcame. I am sitting with my Father in his throne. So this message go here as overcomers. We went to the future a little bit, the future, you know, past the rapture, and we discard all the same people think about the rapture and so on, that you know. We went to the future a little bit. What you want to be involved with and so forth, that you know. Whatever I give you to do now, do it well. It's a sign of a type of what you are going to get, you know, what you're going to be, trust you with when we get up there. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give you glory and honor, Lord. Father, receive all glory. Thank you for being with us this morning. What shall we say? But no, I'll testify by the word of the Lord, the hope that is set before us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So Lord, that will say where our treasure is, that will our heart be. That's why we speak of the translation and the rapture all the time, because that's where our heart really is. So we thank you this morning, and we pray that instruction you gave us account us all worthy to escape, O Lord God, all anything to come. And looking forward to the glorious work we're going to be doing for the Lord. We are doing the heartly one now, Lord, and then we're going to be trusted with even more things in the world to come. We thank you. As we go this morning, Lord, we commit all our need to your hand, Lord. We will never forget the word of God. My God shall supply all your need, all of it, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And faith with you as promised, who also will do it. Father, we just take your word as it is, as a little child, Lord, oh God. We just drink it in. Breathe it in as the air, Lord, and they are all ours. To the extent that, Lord, oh God, we should be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray.
Amen.
Praise to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.